What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Eastern Lariat. I'm your host, Dylan Fox. String is gone right now, but we have a great, great person to be in. So I will not be in it alone. I have a lot to talk about. I have some All Japan to talk about. We've got some Champion Carnival to talk about. And when it comes to All Japan, we do miss Striga, but there's only one person that I could think of that I could call to this. Somebody I know will have my back, and I know will bring it when it comes to All Japan, knows that she loves the product, and I'm so happy to have her on. Jess, you are here.
I am here. What an introduction. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and talk about All Japan.
Oh, and it's great, to anybody out there who's a fan of American wrestling. Right now, Wrestle Update's kind of on hiatus at the moment because Nello's so busy that he's talking about it. Even busier than me, who's also very busy at the moment. But she was on an appearance when she was at a show live talking about Elimination Chamber that she went to in Australia. She is from the wonderful land of Australia as well. So we have to keep that in mind. She was in Japan not that long ago at All Japan shows. You were there. You were there live, weren't you?
Yeah, I went to 4 All Japan shows, the 31st of December, 2nd, 3rd, and then Fuji's big 50th celebration.
That's right. And you've been in the podcast game a little while with your stuff. You've got experience. You're doing big things and everything in the future you're hype about on there. So it's good stuff. Like I said, I didn't just bring losers on to the Eastern Lariat here. I have to keep the spear going of people like Striga, who's so knowledgeable himself. Don't tell him I said that, though. I don't want his ego getting too big there. But so knowledgeable, and myself, who is comic relief at this point, I would argue. But thankfully, we bring in the knowledge. And Jess, I'm so happy to do the show and so happy to have you on. I always do this when I do shows and start stuff, on whether it's a review or anything like that. I always try to, like, give everyone a gauge of where we're at. In terms of at the start of the tournament, me and Striga previewed the tournament before. We talked about things. We talked about everything that happened last month and everything going on. But you, what was kind of your vibe? Where were you at mentally when it comes to the tournament? Were you excited? Were you down? Because there's been a lot of mixed reactions when the lineup was announced. Where were you at on the scale? You know, were you like super hyped, super excited, or kind of in between?
I was kind of mixed. I thought the lineup was okay. There was nothing really special or no one really special. But then when Anzai won the Triple Crown, I was like, okay, now this is interesting. We got the champion in the carnival. And also in each block, we had tag team partners facing each other. And that's one of my favorite type of matches. I love when they just face off and go harder than they normally go with other people.
That's a good point. It gave you some things. How were you feeling after the Anzai title change, like the big win that he had with Nakajima and all that? That was definitely something that got a lot of people talking. How were you feeling about that? Did that affect you any? Were you particularly interested in him, or were you just like, I don't know, that match didn't do it for me? So how are you feeling about it?
I got complicated feelings about that match. Like, I'm happy Anzai won in the end. I like the little ending where he had all the champions of the new era came out with him. I thought that was really, really special. But the whole match, I'm just like, Anzai's not going to win. No way he's going to win. He's getting beat down. And then in the end, he won, and Nakajima gave him no recognition, no head nod, no even like a 5-second stare. He just stalked off, and I feel like that affected his title win in a negative way. But he looks good with the Triple Crown. He is owning it, so I'm happy for him.
He has a new jacket, kind of, in these matches.
New jacket, new gear.
New boom, yes. A new finisher. So they're doing that. That's good stuff. Pretty decent showing here. Pretty decent vibe heading into the tournament. We're going to talk about the first three shows of the tour of the Champion Carnival today, because that's all that's happened, actually. But we didn't want to leave everyone hanging are saying, no, we don't care. Even when Striga's busy, even when I'm busy, some way or another, we will find a way to cover everything that's big and special in the world of Japanese pro wrestling, which there are a lot of things that are big and special. We want to cover it here for all of you wonderful listeners out there. So, first show from Corcoran Hall. It happened just a couple of days ago, started the 18th, which, as I mentioned when we were previewing the show, this was a little bit of a later start than years prior when it comes to the Champion Carnival. I didn't want to read into it or think anything about that or know that it had any effect, but I did notice it was a little bit later. And they delivered a nice number here with the Corcoran show, 1,157. That was a almost, you know, like 500 plus fans more than the first show last year at Corcoran, with bigger matches too. So we'll see where they go here. I mean, Anzai came in. They've had a good run. Everybody knows that. Nakajima, say what you want about him, all of his matches were successful from a business standpoint and a match quality standpoint for most people. That's always subjective. But a solid number, to say the least. Not bad or good for the opener. Probably more good than bad, if anything, to be honest with you. So good to have them have a little bit of success when they came in. And when you want to get people hyped, there's somebody who we were talking about off the air who Jessica knows is the man of all Japan, and who was the first guy in terms of the tournament. We don't care about the undercard matches. They're fine. But who was the first one to come out but Suwama himself? Big Wama comes out. He took on Rei Saito on the opening night, and the thing about these two, and this whole block, I feel like I could make the same comments about, is like all of these big guys in the same block can lead to some, like, not styles clashes, but styles similarities too much sometimes. So you started off with Suwama and Rei Saito. I mean, listen, these two have history. You know this. You've covered it before on your show, old show, where we've got the Voodoo Murders storyline, the legacy of everything. Taru, they kicked him to the curb. We don't know where he's at. I mean, I don't
want to know where he's at.
Oh, I was going to ask if you had any secret info on where he was at. But no, you just say, I don't want to know where he's at. But the fact of the matter, they have history. They've been partners and enemies and blah, blah, blah before. These two had a match that was all right, but for me, this is the first match of the tournament now, okay? This is the match that people want to remember. I think that's one of the biggest, like, spots of the whole tournament, actually, is the first match of the whole tournament, whether it's the first one and the main event as well in the first show. I think are both big matches. I don't think this was an appropriate opening match for the tournament. And yes, you look at the show, yeah, you had the Actress Girls come in, you had the junior match, you had that Jiro six-man tag in there with Hideki and all of them. But this was the real opener to the show. And you come off of it, you had all of them in the ring. Remember the visual with all the participants, which is so always so cool. That's a great shot. And then you get to this match here, and it's just like, it was a fine big guy match, but it wasn't anything special, I would say. And so I thought that it disappointed me a little bit. But you, as a Suwama respector, up and down, will you set me straight? Will you tell the truth? Or do you agree? Did I tell the truth in the first place?
I disagree. I thought it was a good way to kick off the Champion Carnival. If you look at the matches on day one, you're not going to put Kento out there first. You're not going to put Anzai out there first. I think Suwama and Rei were good. They are so loved by the fans. Like, Rei is just insanely over, and Suwama will always be loved. I just thought it was fine. And it was very All Japan, just two big men just going at it. Like, what more could you want? It was a short match, under 10 minutes.
True.
You know, Ray's wiping his face on fan supporter towels now. Fans are loving that.
Like, just like the old school Tanahashi.
Yeah. And Suwama hit his dropkick, and I will always pop for his dropkick. I love it so much. So I thought it was a good way to open the carnival.
In defense of Suwama, he did actually break out a couple of moves like that. He did the complete shot, like the flatliner move, which he never really does that much. They went back and forth, bashed into each other, you know, flying shoulder tackles and things like that. Suwama, you know, meat and potatoes, backdrop, you know, win there. I see what you're saying a little bit. I just wanted a little bit of sizzle. You know, this was an all steak match. I feel like we needed some more sizzles. You know, these big guys, there's a lot of these big guys in the tournament again, especially after watching all three of these shows. I can see that. There's a lot of beef in this block, in B block. But
so B stands for beef block.
Beef block. That's what. What's A block? Asshole? Like Kento and Yuma both in there?
I'll think of one.
Okay. We trust you. Like, Jess, you got to deliver or we're going with asshole block as the official A block. And which I say lovingly, by the way. I love Yuma and Kento, but, you know, let's be honest. And the top asshole, Hokuto Omori, was up next. So he comes in. I think Nakajima broke this man. He walks out bringing back an old gimmick that he had before, which even at the time, I hated. Because I wanted the North Wolf. This was my guy. I always bigged him up. He's a new, young, hot prospect. He could do great stuff. Good worker, blah, blah, blah. You bring out the horse head. You lose all these junior matches. This sucks. You move on. And I've seen a lot of criticism about Omori from a lot of people. And I've got some things to say about that. But I will say, the horse head started this whole deal off, like threw off my vibes right away with this. Ashino, a great wrestler. Like everyone knows that. There's no doubt about that. I just don't think, you know, this stuff with the horse head, the fake horse guy, like a fake Hokuto Omori, Hokuto Omori impersonator. Who is this fraud? You know, it makes no sense, but it does make his matches worth it. A lot of, I guess you could argue that they actually told a little bit of story in this match because a lot of it was like, oh, he gave him a low blow. Then he gave him another low blow. And then finally, Ashino hit his own low blow to win. So I guess there was some psychology there. And that led to the ankle lock win. Even though it didn't, like, the match, it didn't make sense with the rest of the match, though. He did the ankle lock after the low blow. The whole match was about the low blow. So no leg work. Match didn't impress me that much, to be honest. And Hokuto making me mad with this horse head stuff.
I just don't get it. Why is he doing this? He should know the horse head is bad luck. He wore it to the press conference with Tiger Mask, lost that match. He wore it to the Junior Battle of Glory, lost every single match in that tournament, and gave Inoue his first win, actually. So he brought it back, and not only is there one horse head, now there's two. I want more for Omori because I know he can do more. And I know he's better than this stupid gimmick he has. Like, I don't understand. But the match was fine. Ishino won, which is always good. But
why the low blows and the dirty wrestling and all this stuff, though?
He used to do that a lot, actually. He used to do a lot of low blows.
He's going back in time to his old school Hokuto here. Well. Nonetheless, you know, Ashino did get the win at the end of the day. And that led to a debut on the show as we get to see the first Champion Carnival match for Lord Crew as he took on Ryuki Honda. And when I say took on, I mean this ended in like 2 minutes. But I have to say, this, all things considered, I thought this was a really strong like start. For him, like, obviously with 2 minutes, it's protecting you. Like, it's kind of hard to screw up that bad in such a short match. Like, you have to be especially bad, but I thought he looked good here. Crew had this like big spin kick, which is a part of his moveset. He's done it each time and it looked good at the end. I like that he did stuff like he had him in the corner and he was attacking him in the corner. The ref was like, you know, counting him down 1, 2, 3. And then he started counting with the ref at the same time as he attacked him. I thought that was pretty good charisma. Honda did pretty good as like a smaller guy here against Lord True, who has good size. It really made Crew look great. The crowd reacted nice. You know, like when he won, they had a good reaction to it. I thought that was shocking to have Honda go over so fast. I personally thought this was an upset alert right away. Like, okay, new guy coming in. They want to give him a hot start. I thought they'd give him a win. I didn't expect it to be this fast, but he did win. What'd you think of this debut?
I thought it was fine. I don't think 2 minutes and 12 seconds is enough to really judge the guy.
Yeah.
I didn't like Honda being served up to just be squashed. But I guess who else are you going to do in Block B? Who else is going to be the sacrifice? Lord Crew is good for his size. He's a big guy, but he can really move. Yeah, I guess we'll talk about him day two and day three.
And I think when you look at what happened, there was a bigger plan for Honda that, you know, that this would, that would kind of make up for it in his world. But yeah. Up next, Yuma Aoyagi came out, which is my pick for MVP last year in all of Japanese wrestling and my favorite overall performer, which someone on this show can also relate to, I believe, who may be on here as well. And we are definitely the purveyors of the Fool era in All Japan Pro Wrestling, although it hasn't been that way for the last few months. But in my mind, it has been. I make up stuff in my head. I don't follow their crazy stuff with Nakajima he was doing. I just thought this match, he took on Davey Boy here, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and he's a guy that had, you know, he had a long run in New Japan for a while, in Noah a little bit as well, mainly a part of the tag team with Lance Archer, that part of Suzuki-gun and all that. And he's been talked about as a guy that could be an All Japan guy for years now. And he finally made it for the Carnival. How did you think this match stacked up? You know, it was a look at Davey. Aoyagi, we all love him very much. What did you think of the match?
I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think it was ever going to be a bad match. You know, Yuma's in it. He's my favorite. I love him. But the play dead spot, I absolutely hate. I hate the play dead spot. I don't know, Dylan, if you remember when Naoya Nomura came out and says, like, hey, I'm leaving, but I just want one more match. And he wanted it with Yuma. So they had that match, and Yuma used a play dead spot in that match. And the referee then was Nikan Lee. And the way she was talking to Yuma when he was, like, playing dead was, like, so sweet and so kind. It was like a mother talking to, like, her child who was hurt. I was like, oh, my God, Yuma's actually dead. He's hurt. Like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, no.
And then he revealed himself, like, no, I'm fine. Ever since then, I hate this spot so much. I just want it to go away. But it's not, unfortunately. We've seen it in other matches. But apart from that, I thought this match was fine. I liked Yuma's little jig after the match when he
won. That was the highlight to me. Like that, I always say this, and I said this off the air. When you look at Yuma, a great thing about him that makes him appeal to me is that he's ultimately a good guy. Like, he's not a bad person or anything like that. But he's always so, like, he'll make fun of people. Like, no matter who it is. And a lot of times, this match proved it. And his other match we're going to talk about as well definitely proves it. But we've seen in the past, like someone like a Keno, everybody knows his fist pose. He holds his fist up. His name is the Fist King. Of course, he likes fists. Yuma makes fun of the fist pose right away. Jake Lee in the final makes fun of him. Kento makes fun of him. Like, he always rips on everybody. Even Davey Boy Smith Jr., who is a fine worker. Like, it's not like he's this bad wrestler who stinks. He's just really bland and boring. You know, his look is nothing special. He's got some size to him, but he's really nothing, not that interesting or flashy. You know, black, blah, blah, blah. Like, all black look. And, you know, basic moves, power, a little bit of technique, blah. Even still, Yuma found a way after he won this match, which was like a flukish win, like a flash pin roll up type of deal to win. His celebration afterwards was hilarious to me. He still found a way to mock him here. It just made me smile so much. That was like my favorite part of this whole show, I think, was that celebration on there. But Davey did fine. I just didn't think it was a special match. I think it was like a perfect 3-star type of match.
I did like at the end of the match, Davey Boy Smith was like reliving his Suzuki-gun days by beating up the rookies on the way out.
Yeah. Why do you want this violence against the rookies? They didn't do anything to anybody.
When I started watching New Japan, Suzuki-gun were my favorite faction. So
what? Yeah. Oh, man.
What?
I have a lot of bad memories of the Suzuki-gun invasion of Noah at the time, unfortunately. So.
Well, this was after the Noah stuff. I started watching.
Okay, fine.
So I didn't watch any of the Noah stuff.
Okay. I won't hold it against you, but it's something I question. That's all. But it's okay. We all live and we learn. Life is about growing. Okay. We grew. We grew. And you know who else grew? Ren Ayabe, the Rainmaker, as many people have noted him now. So, first of all, say what you want. The look is a definite upgrade to where he was before. He looks like a dude. Yes, it looks a lot like Okada. Yes, he has the jacket and the purple and all that stuff. But it's an upgrade. He looks like a dude now. And he took it to Kento. This was really the biggest thing that happened on the show, was him upsetting Kento with the death roulette, his new move here, which is kind of like a gourd buster. Like, we're pretty much like a face first Falcon Arrow crush, as it would be known as in Fire Pro. Kento, I thought, did a decent job trying to make him into a star and make him look great, as he should. Kento is awesome. We know that, obviously. They did some stuff on the outside where he threw him into the guardrails and all of that. Kento tried to do some stuff where he fired back. He even threw a few headbutts, which makes me like him more. Anybody who throws headbutts is my kind of wrestler. We know this at the end of the day. He was firing up with the blackout knees. He looked like he was about to get him, but in the end, Ayabe hit the dragon suplex into the death roulette, which is like, again, the gourd buster spin out. What'd you think? This is the big talk for everybody. Ren, new look, new gear, new move, new style, beating the ace.
I am obsessed with Kenta Ayabe. I love Ren Ayabe now. Like, he just looks so good. He looks so much more confident. He's so much more energized. Like, he's interacting with the fans. I feel like he didn't do that before. But for this match, Kento was like the perfect opponent. He made Ayabe look so good. It was kind of like the battle of the sparkly entrance coats.
That's true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the Kento chant slowly turning into the Ayabe chant. And then Ayabe tapping Kento's head, and Kento just looks so pissed off. Like, how dare this guy just come into All Japan, tap me on the head. And I love Ayabe's little smile who's trying to hide. She's like, just smile, yeah. Ayabe. Just let it out.
He's trying to be Kenzo, too cool, though. He doesn't want to show emotion.
Kenzo continues his first round champion carnival loss. He hasn't won a first round since 2019. So he's on a big losing streak right now.
I definitely thought Crew was going to beat Honda. Like, that setup was a big upset for me. This, I thought, was possible, but I didn't anticipate it fully. It was more like 50-50, and they went ahead and did it, and I'm glad they did it. It got people talking, and the new look and stuff definitely brings them in. The new hair, the new gear. Some of his moveset to me, I really wish he would, like, because he's got that basketball background, you know. If he could just put on a little beef to himself, hit a little bit harder, I think that's something he lacks. That a lot of his strikes aren't as heavy hitting as like a Suwama's in his peak or anything like that. I think he needs to really go for it. If he could get that confidence to really go all out and be a heavy hitter that he should be with his great size, I think he could be a guy. He's still got a little ways to go, in my opinion. I know a lot of people were impressed, you know, not just you, but a lot of people were praising this debut run for Ren here. But I think that he's got a lot to him. I think that he's got a long way to go still, but I like the decision here to put him over, and Kento did a great job as well. So this was probably the match of the night, night one, which I think Cage Match does as well, does have here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes,
but 6.68. I disagree something with you, actually. I thought 100% Ren was winning. They're telling the story between Kento and Ren for a while now, and Ayabe was on like a pretty big losing streak. I'm like, okay, who's his first match opponent? And I saw Kento. I was like, okay, Kento's losing. He's on a losing streak. Ren has to do something to get his win back. This is his moment. So I was like, 100%, yeah, he's going to win. I would have put money on it.
Okay, well, you would have won. Said at that point, I wasn't that confident, okay? I was 50-50. I'm not saying, oh, I'm shocked that it happened. I totally see why it did. It was a nice thing. And the fans reacted big to him. They really rallied behind him after he won. Like that, they gave him a good chant, you know, at the end of the day. So that was cool. Then we had the main event, which was the champ himself. We talked about him earlier. Yuma Anzai took on, who else would you call when you need a main event? Jun Saito here. So Anzai's got some new gear too, like a little bit of new swag for him as well. I was really interested in not just in how this match was worked, like wrestling wise, but more so how he carried himself and all of that. I think that I wanted to see how he would as a champ, because the match, you kind of mentioned it earlier at the start, it didn't feel like this epic win, to say the least. You know, they didn't really go out of their way to see that. And they hadn't really built him up that well in months prior. He was really more the tag team guy with Honda, which is cool and good. But it wasn't as effective as it would have been last year, in my opinion. I stated that already. But regardless, he's the champion. I wanted to see how he would go with that and how he would ride with that. I think that we're going to have to see how this tournament goes. I would like to see by the end, and I said this too, I actually said this before he even won the belt, but especially now that he's the champion. I personally think putting him in beef block, as we know it, is a disservice to him as the champion, because all of these big guys, he is going to be the underdog guy. It's just going to have to be that way because of the size difference. And he's not small. I mean, you know, he's got decent size himself on there. It's not like, and a lot of people are talking about this match here with Jun. It's not like Jun was way bigger than Anzai. I mean, yes, he was bigger, obviously, but Anzai's not a small guy. He's got good size too. But I think they're forcing him in this block to portray the underdog guy that he was before. He's having to sell for these guys. Jun took a lot of the match, and I think that kind of hurt the match, but also hurt his appeal as champion. So I would like by the end of this tournament, maybe not have a dominant win per se, but a match where he really stands on game, where he is the man. He has a clear win. You know, he's not selling for most of the match. He's taking the fight to whoever and showing he is the top guy, which I think in this match, Jun took a lot of the match, and Yuma made his comeback, which, to his credit, did have a new move at the end of it. But I thought it wasn't that great, and I didn't think it helped Anzai's appeal as champion for the first part. But what did you think?
I think we might differ here. But first of all, Anzai's gear, I think it looks great. It's a really small little update, but a much-needed update, and it suits him. I thought it was fun. Junior Rages have grown so much since last year's Champion Carnival. It's insane. Like, I just can't wait for their matches now, where before I'm just like, oh my god, another Saito match, are you serious? But Anzai did get dominated a lot, I will admit.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it as much here, because Jun is also a champion and Anzai is in the top spot. He's still learning though. He's like, you can still call him the super rookie. So to him come out like a Kento or Suwama and just be so dominant, I think it's, I don't want to say unbelievable, but like, it doesn't feel right. But he will get there, but I just don't think he's there now. But Anzai's new finisher, I thought it was Borin Honda's finisher. It looked like the setup for the final
the
vent.
Final vent. Yeah, it did a little bit. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, his finisher isn't the most smooth or beautiful, but I think more tweaking over time, he'll get there.
I'm really 50-50 on this move. It's kind of like you said, very similar to the setup to the final vent. A little bit like the one-winged angel, like sideways setup a little bit, where he lifts him with one arm. It's like sideways version. And he basically twists that out into Evil's Darkness Falls, which is like the sit-out powerbomb deal. It's like the final vent setup into the sit-out bomb, pretty much. I like that it's unique. It's his own move. It's something. It's a little clunky, but it's something nobody else does, maybe for a reason with it. But I like that it's something unique. It's hard to do your own move. And I think for an ace character, you want to have that signature move. The German suplex wasn't going to cut it as the champion, like especially when Kento already has the shutdown German. You need a more unique move to stand out on your own. You know, like Yuma's got the Fool. You know, you've got all this stuff. You want to have your own move. So I'm glad that they gave him this. I don't completely love it, but I'm still not completely putting it out either. I'm like 50-50 on it. Part of me likes it. Part of me thinks it could be better. Like you said, maybe a tweak or two to this can make this work and make it a real long-term finisher. But yeah, that was the first night. I think the big news was the Ren win and everything like that. That really got everybody talking. And I think it was well executed, even though I personally, like I said, I wasn't as enamored as some people, but I still thought it was well done. And I was really happy with the win. I thought that that's something that All Japan is doing really well right now. When it comes to the young guys, like Anzai is the champion, Ren coming up, Honda got his moment we'll talk about. They're doing stuff with the young guys, and I think that's a great thing to see. Night two, though. Let's move on to that. We have left Corcoran Hall here. Night two was a show from Axe City Hamamatsu. And they did a show last year in Axe City. And it was literally like a two-person difference, like cage match. 479 last year, 481 this year. So we got two more people this year to come in. That is the power of Horsehead in the main event. Two people. But this show started coming off like his big win. He was the talk of night one. He's the first man in to open up this night in terms of the block. Ren Ayabe taking on Shotaro Ashino here. I thought this was a good match. I thought this was like as good, maybe even a little better than the Kento match actually, but with so much less reason to be good, like good just in terms of the work. I thought Ashino did a great job here. Like, he was so good in this match. He was making more Ren look even better and better. I think a thing with Ren, I think the one thing that he's going to gain, and I'm getting more in depth, more into him. I wouldn't say I was obsessed with him like you were, but I was. But I am getting more into him. And here's the thing: I think when he gets this, he is going to be the dude. When he gets more confidence in himself. He's so still young. There's still those moments where I see a lack of confidence. And the jokes about Okada. I want everybody. I mentioned this on the Patreon earlier in the week or last week. I want everybody to go back to this match, Ren versus Ashino. Go to the part where Ren does the jumping drop kick. He does it exactly the same as Okada, complete with the hand clap right before he does the jump. But if you look at Ren's hand clap, it's the softest hand clap. When Okada did it and when others do it, it's like a, you know, big smack there. That's a sign of him. If you can't even be stiff on your own hand clap, how could you be stiff hitting someone else? Look at the drop kick. And the drop kick he did was good for his size, don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about the clap before the kick. It lasted like a mini second. Watch it. You'll know I'm telling you the truth. This is what I saw, and this is the analysis that I have that you won't get on the other shows. But what say you about this match?
To me, mean to Ren. He's a gentle giant.
But the hand clap was not powerful enough. I need strong hand claps in my wrestling.
I have to go back and watch that. I missed it.
You
but the high difference in this match, You didn't mention that. It was hilarious.
It was.
Ren on his knees is almost
as cool as Kino.
Yeah.
And they kind of mentioned that because he kind of like went immediately. Ashino went after his knee to clip him down. And then Ren was like, look, even on my knee, I'm still as big as you. Play pretty much.
Yeah, we love Ishino here, but he's he's small for All Japan, I will say. Yeah. All Japan likes their giants. But Ishino gave Ren a ton here to work with. Like, he just continued on what Kento did from night one, just made him look really, really good. Ishino, like we said, he went for the leg. He was cutting the giant down. It was a good visual. He won with the ankle lock. You know, we always like Ishino to win, so I was happy with this.
Yeah, you know, it was good. I thought, I like that, you know, Ayabe is really growing as time goes along. You know, even in this tournament, I think by the end of the tournament, if he can get a little bit more confidence, smack those hands together fast and harder, that's when he's going to really win me fully over this. But good match, though. I liked it. I thought it was a good start to the show. The next match, we needed the big guys once again, and we needed Suwama. He's back again, taking on Hartley Jackson, an Australian, in the tournament, you know, this year. You've got your hometown representation, or your home country representation, anyway. So this match was all right. Like, it was pretty good, big man match. Jackson was trying to, like, rile up the crowd a little bit. If you've seen him in Glate, he's kind of a similar character, like the heel big guy. When he was in Ganbare Pro, he was more like he was an outsider that grew into an insider, like became one of them. At Glate, he's like, nah, I'm the outsider. And here he was being more of the heel type of stuff, pretty much. He was yelling at fans and stuff like that. One of the highlights to me was when Hartley hit a big Death Valley driver on Suwama. I thought it looked good. Suwama was coming in with the lariat. And the match was looking like it might, if they could go up another notch, it could be good. But then the finish happened, and I didn't like this at all. So he goes for the chokehold. Suwama chokes out Hartley, and the ref stops the match. The problem is that Hartley didn't sell being choked out at all. It was kind of like he was still fighting, like, and the ref is just like, screw it, I'm stopping the match. And he didn't tap. He didn't go out. It was just, maybe wires were crossed. Somebody didn't tell somebody the finish. I don't know. But I thought that's where this match kind of failed. But it was pretty all right before that.
Yeah, the ending was strange. But all I just wrote is a big man, slow, hard-hitting match. Exactly what it needs to be, nothing more.
Yeah, see, look at that. Look at how concise those notes were. Thank you for taking notes for the show, by the way. I appreciate that. You put in the effort on that. I appreciate that. But yeah, like, not a bad match, but, you know, it could have been, the finish could have been done a lot better, I would say for sure. We had a wacky multi-man tag that broke up the action. But then, speaking of wacky, the bane of my existence came out next. Kuroshio Tokyo Japan. Now, I just want to say this. There was a spot here. And Yuma came out with his own jacket to make fun of Jiro, of course, here. And he was doing some Jiro spots. He did a cartwheel at one point. He was probably having a lot of fun. I want you to look at his entrance, Jiro's entrance here. He goes up to this fan who I think was like a little kid. This girl was having nothing of this Jiro. She hated this man. And I've never been more proud of a wrestling fan, regardless of age, than this. No love for Jiro. This didn't work. And Yuma came over, good guy Yuma, making fun of Jiro on one hand, but on the other hand, helping the kids out, letting her know everything's going to be okay, because I'm going to tie him up onto the ring and we're going to have a really terrible match. Then put ahead. So here's the thing. If you were to grade this as a match, this was awful. Was there a charm to Yuma doing this goofy stuff? Because it's him, I think he made it work better than almost anybody else could. With they were throwing like the jacket sleeve punches at each other. It was terrible, but also funny. They went in and out. They did the stuff with a coat hanger. And then he goes like they're under the ring, and then he gets counted out, and he's like tied up, and Yuma takes a selfie with him after. What could we possibly say about this match?
Well, my first comment is like that poor girl in the front row with her little watermelon t-shirt, like, leave her alone. Stop going over to her. Just let her sit with her mom or whoever she was with. This was less of a wrestling match and more of just two guys goofing around.
Yes.
It definitely wasn't my favorite. I think it could have been a lot shorter. Maybe for the crowd in attendance, it was funny for them. Like them running back and forward, them with the jackets, like hanging each other up with like the coat hangers. But it just, it wasn't good.
No, like, no, they didn't even try to have a real match at all. But if you're into Jiro, if we've got any Jiro fans out there, I think this has to be one of the best, like, of his matches, I would say. So we'll see how that goes. Up next was Lord Crew once again, and he had a challenge here taking on the Triple Crown champion. And this is kind of my same issue with the other match with Anzai. Once again, the big guy really took a lot of the match. It wasn't as pronounced as in the Jun Saito match at all. It was a shorter match, too. I think he's another one where they're letting these guys have a little shorter matches to kind of, like, ease them into things. And, like, it's a good idea to do that, to not, you know, we don't need Crew and Anzai having a 22-minute match. We got what we needed out of this match, and I didn't like that Yuma had to sell so much. I really want him to fire up and step into that role as the guy, as a champion. I get what you're saying earlier about him not being ready, and that's a part of his story in and of itself, but I just think, man, I want to see him grow into that role, so we'll see how it goes. But in the end, he did fire back. Once again, he took Crew took a lot of the match. Yuma fired up with his few big moves, the German, the flying knee, the jumping knee strike, and then the Gimlet for the win. What do you think of the name? We didn't even talk about the name, the Gimlet.
I like Ayabe's new finisher's name better.
The Death
Gimlet.
Roulette.
It just sounds like, it sounds like a Pokemon.
It does. It does sound like kind of like a Pokemon, actually, I would say. I think it's based
on the first evolution stage.
No, not the full version. Maybe that's what he's going to need coming into the next version when he tweaks the move to something else.
Not true, yeah.
He's going to have to evolve it into a new move. The Gim Togo. The evolved form of Gimlet. There. I think somebody said it was named for some kind of drink or something. Like, but I don't know. I've never heard this word in my life. Maybe it's some German thing Striga would know. Let us know if you guys know what this Gimlet is all about. But up next, we have the return of Jun Saito, and he faces Hideki Suzuki. My guy, he's in the tournament. Whoa. Here. I have to say, I thought they tried pretty hard in this match. I thought Hideki worked really hard here to make Jun look good. He has a lot of respect for the Saito brothers, clearly, just like we all do now. I thought actually the early part of this match where they were on the outside was really fiery and more interesting than I expected it to be honest. They went to the front row. I'm sure that the kid fan, that the little girl, was much more. Yuma prepared her for this, so she was okay and she was fine as long as they fought each other and Jiro wasn't around, so she was happy with that. They came in once Jun took over. I thought it slowed down a little bit and wasn't as good, but in the end he did get the win with a psycho break. I thought the start of this match was really good, and it turned into a good match. I wouldn't say great or must watch or anything, but I thought it was well done for what it was, and Hideki tried hard, so pretty decent little match here.
You missed the best bit of the match when Wada was copying, like, June's smoothing hair taunt. Like, the crowd laughed and lost it. I lost it at that moment, too. I thought that was a highlight of the match, but that's not saying this match is bad. I actually thought it was pretty good. I wasn't really expecting much from them, especially sometimes Hideki Suzuki can goof off a bit in this match. But no, he showed up. I think they both played to their strengths and they worked really well together. And it was just like a fun wrestling match. And I'm pretty sure you could see like Ray peek through the entrance curtains watching his brother in this match. I thought that was really cute.
Ray's got to look out for bro now. Come on. Now he knows Hideki's a shooter. Like what if he shot on June?
Well, he faced Hideki on day three. So maybe he was scouting.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yes, look at that intricate storytelling from the Saito brothers here. They never had this when Taru was around. I personally would say, I think I would probably go with Ashino and Ren, but I think this is up there as like a match of the night candidate.
It's my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, I can see that. Main event was not my match of the night at all. It was the worst match of the night, would be more accurate. Kento Miyahara versus Hokuto Omori. This man is killing me. These men are killing me. There's multiple horses in this company now. It wasn't good enough just to have one horse head. You've got multiple men. It's clearly not him. Like when you look at it, it's like a totally different guy. He's much smaller and not as tan. But they need a more accurate body double for this. But he still, Kento got faked out by him. Omori came in with his stuff. You know, that nonsense. They come in. Omori, there was a ref bump, low blow, things like that. But in the end, Kento came back. He hit his own low blow into the blackout, into the shutdown German. I thought this match sucked. Like, it was worse than the first one Omori did. And especially the main event. Like, and here's my thing, because a lot of people are criticizing Hokuto here. You go back and watch that Real World Tag League final and tell me he doesn't have what it takes. That was an amazing moment, star-making moment. I remember me and Striga were talking about how great it was, how great of a job they did. He pinned Yuma, the former Triple Crown champion. Like, it was an amazing thing. And he performed great in it. Even their singles match last July, I thought was really good. He's a talented guy. But when you're doing this stupid gimmick with the horse head and the low blows, this is like combining all of the House of Torture into just one guy. It feels like what he's trying to do. And it just is not doing it for me. This is not it. Get him out of here.
Poor Omori. I do think the Kento Omori pair is actually really good. I think they wrestle great against each other. The low blows and the chair shots, it doesn't bother me as much because he's done it before. And, you know, it's just like, okay, Omori is back at it again. It's not as bad
he's
as...
at it again.
It's not as bad as, like, anything like Voodoo Murders Brawl or anything. I think it's fine. I just don't understand what he's doing. Like, maybe because he lost his faction, that unnamed faction with Dora Suzuki.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's trying to get people to join the Hokuto army. Nobody wants to join, except for maybe this one guy who's under the other horse mask.
Yeah.
I guess we just have to wait and see. Like, this is only day two of the carnival. We still have, what, 7 or 8 other days?
Yeah.
Maybe this will lead somewhere. Maybe we'll get, like, a new wrestler under the mask, or we might just never know who's under the mask.
It's just going to be retconned. Like, one day he's not going to show up and it'll never be mentioned again. But the show was not great. I would say, I have to say, I liked the semi-main well enough. And I liked the Ashino and Ren match was pretty good. But it definitely could have been better, I would argue. But night three, we go to Chiba. The stomping grounds of 2AW here. And it showed because they had a bunch of 2AW guys on the show. At the start with Yoshida, Shoki, and all these guys. They were at the Makuhari Messe International Exhibition Hall number 4. It just rolls off the tongue. There, 758 people. What would have happened if they went to number 3? I wonder, though. Like, I know, we need to... Next time you go to Japan, you've got to go there. You've got to do our scouting on Mess Hall. They were there. They did run this last year. They did a great number, too, for that, when they were there. That was the show that had Suwama going for the belt there against when Aoyagi was the champion, which was a really good match, by the way, too, if you guys haven't seen it yet. Here we had Anzai facing his partner in the main event. But first, we had Jun Saito, another big guy match in Beef Block versus Hartley Jackson. You know, this is another match, kind of what you wrote before. Like, it's a match with two big guys running into each other and doing power stuff. It doesn't need to be more, really. I thought it was totally fine. Nothing special at all or anything like that. But for two big guys, they did all right. Like, a lot of running at each other, a lot of June hit a spear. You know, Hartley did the rolling lariat at one point. Hit his Death Valley driver again. I think that's, like, his best move, I would say. They kind of came at each other, and then, of course, June hit the psycho break for the win. So a decent big guy match, but nothing special, I would say.
It was actually my least favorite big man match from the Chemi Carnival so far.
Yeah,
I thought they didn't mesh well together at all, and the match seemed a bit off to me, so I didn't like it.
I thought they worked really slow, actually, for a shorter match. Like, you know, the pacing wasn't that good. It was only like 7 minutes, but it was a little bit slow. Not as much of the charisma we saw with Hartley in his first match as this one, but still, they did. You know, it was a match. You don't have to watch it. Long story short, Cyrus Ejiro. I did like Cyrus just throwing him around all over the place when he hit the power bomb into the turnbuckle, or the post rather, like from the outside. That looked good. He threw him over the guardrail. He was going on. Jiro was trying to do springboard moves. He had a power slam, caught him. He came in. Jiro tried to do the Hurricane Rana, but he blocked it. And then Jiro, the unstoppable Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, hit his kick after a few minutes and got the win. Were you impressed by it? Did Kuroshio win you over with this match?
No. I just thought we were all living through Cyrus in this one when he was just battering.
That was fun.
Jiro around the whole arena. I thought that was really fun. But I will give my really unpopular opinion here. And maybe because when I was in Japan, I saw Jiro live 4 times. And okay. I thought being live, his entrance is actually really, really fun. But watching it, oh my God, it sucks. And we're going to have so many matches of him coming out, doing his entrance, and then he has to go back and do it twice for some reason now. And it's just like, stop. Like, we didn't have time for this. Stop.
The girl in the first match of his, that was the truth. That's what the fans really feel. Don't listen to people who say how fun it is. The girl told you at the end. Don't tell me my eyes lied to me. She knew she had my spirit in that. I want to cry when Jiro does his million-minute entrance every time. What about when he hid behind, like, the rookie, and Cyrus, like, reached around the rookie to grab him and pull him up?
Yeah, that was actually really funny. And also, Cyrus just picking up the referee. Like, he was just like a child that weighed nothing.
Yeah.
That was also great.
Well, Jiro went crazy going through the crowd and acted like he won the Super Bowl because he beat Cyrus. So, congratulations for that. Cyrus good. We like Cyrus. I was a Cyrus respector last year, even when Striga tried to make me feel bad about it. And then Cyrus had, like, the worst match of the year versus T-Hawk, and I looked bad. But this year,
Cyrus is great.
Cyrus will justify us this year. He will not fail us again. We have to respect him. We have to believe in the Cyrus. Up next was Shotaro Ashino versus Davey Boy Smith Jr., like the polar opposite of Jiro in a lot of ways, both of these men. Like, the work they did was good. Like, Ashino was awesome. Like, again, I really love him. But it's just so bland with Davey. Like, it's such a slow pace. the excitement just isn't there at any time. You know, they did some stuff here. Oshino got to look good. I thought he looked great. You know, again, I think he's really stood out in this tournament. Davey Boy is doing some suplexes. He did that gut wrench thing going on there, did the half and half. Oshino was going in. He hit that big running European uppercut to knock him down. It was good. He had his own Karelin lift, which looked great. They went back and forth to the ankle lock. Davey turned it into the sharpshooter. And in the end, he hit the big bulldog bomb for the win. So he brings back his old finisher. I just thought it was a little slow and not that exciting, but it was well worked enough. What say you?
I say nothing because I forgot about this match, so I have no notes. So whatever you say, I have to agree with.
You cannot argue something that you don't even remember, unfortunately. But let's put it this way. You don't have to go back and rush out to watch it again, I would say. You're not missing the match of the year. But it was all right. Rei Saito and Hideki Suzuki, back-to-back Saito Brothers matches for Hideki to start off. And the man who I've told constantly refuses to job and is so unprofessional takes yet another loss in All Japan as he goes winless through the first three nights and losing to both Saito Brothers here. So it was all right. Again, I thought that Rei definitely used his power big here. He solidified himself more than Jun did with Hideki coming in, but he still fired up a little bit. He did some good stuff with the drop kick. They went outside and things like that. Hideki did the arm bar to the outside as well, tried to do the arm bar going after him as well, tried to build a story through the arm, but it didn't really go anywhere. He basically just knocked his ass down with that big bear paw fist he hit him with the lariat, then the drill a hole pile driver for the win. I liked this match well enough. Like I said, going in with the arm work, I thought they were doing some good things. I could have done with this going longer. I've liked Hideki's output against both Saito brothers. He's over-delivered, in my opinion. And Saito was good, too, here. So I wish that he had sold it a little better, because it's like, we do all this arm work, and then, I'm just going to knock you down with my injured arm and use it three times in a row to end the match. I could have done without that, but I thought it was getting good. If they maybe had a little bit more time and he could have sold a little bit more on the arm, this could have been a really good match, but it was all right for what it was.
I didn't like this. Like, I thought it was kind of boring. And I think Jun 100% had the better Saito versus Suzuki match.
I think so, too.
And I'll have to say, it's like, thank goodness All Japan added a skip 10 seconds button, because I use that button a lot in this match.
Wow, it was only a 6-minute match, and you still were like,
I didn't want to even watch that much, that long. I didn't like it. I thought it was pretty,
Nah, it's okay. Like I said, I am an arm work respector, is the problem here. It got blown off anyway, so you're not really wrong. But I thought they were building the ground level for a great match, or a really good match at least, and it didn't really get there. You're right. Jun was the better match between the Hideki. I'll give you that. You get the point on this one. And then afterwards, too, Rei, like, showed respect for a second, but then slapped him again. I was like, what? But whatever. Like I said, he deserved it for that terrible Suwama tag team that Hideki had. That was revenge. He didn't do good enough there, and Ray's trying to slap pride back into him. The next match on this show was, they had another multi-man match. We got to see Kaz Hayashi in that, as he goes to the junior title match that he's setting up. Although Rising wasn't in that match, but whatever. Like, we just like seeing Kazahashi, so it's fine. Next match was a legacy match for this era of All Japan. Yuma Aoyagi versus Kento Miyahara. And this match here, I mean, they've had some classics in the past and some great matches and things like that. I think that this is another one where Kento was doing what I call switch flip selling, where he would sell great, like when he was up to it, but suddenly stuff would change. It would be his turn. Boom. He's popping up. No problem. Coming in. Yuma Yeah, you know, they had a nice long match here. This was the first really like 20-minute match of the tournament. So they tried to make this mean something. They did some stuff on the outside. Yuma choked his ass out with the towel on the outside there, showing that, hey, I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty either. Kento had a really cool, I noted there was like a part where Yuma kind of like was, he locked in a cravat. Kento fought his way out and hit some really cool, like a combo on him, like a bunch of strikes, which I thought was really good. Kento was going for things. He does a baseball slide, but then Aoyagi caught him, threw his arm into the guardrail and all that. They tried to do, Yuma did a bunch of flash pin attempts in a row for some near falls, hit the Rockstar Buster, but then Kento fired up, hitting the blackout knee, and then hit the shutdown German for the win. So Kento gets on the board here, beating Aoyagi. This is, again, a legacy match. What did you think of this iteration of it?
Well, if you know me, you know I just love these two. My match of the year last year was actually Kento versus Yuma, the Triple Crown match in October. So when I saw them on the card, I didn't think they were on day three. I thought they were later. I was just so excited. And this was just your classic Kento versus Yuma match with all the hits. It didn't top any matches last year they had, single matches. But if this was your first Yuma versus Kento, like if you're a new fan or something, it's really not a bad place to start. Kento in this match used a play dead spot, so that was a nice twist. It wasn't as good as Yuma using it. I still hate it, but Yuma does it better.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you hate it or do you like it?
I hate it, but Yuma does it better.
Okay.
These two have a formula and they know that it works. We know that it works. And lucky for us, it's good every single time.
Yeah, I thought this was, like, to this point, the best match of the tournament so far, which would last for one match.
Yeah, same.
Overall, but still, it was good. I wouldn't say it was, like, a match of the year, or really anywhere near as good as their title match that you mentioned from October. But for their overall series, I have no problem with this being an addition to it. Like, it would be the first match I would say, this is a recommendation, you know, like my version, I grade all these matches. Like I'm sure like a lot of people don't care about star ratings or whatever, but 7 out of 10 on Cage Match, 3.5. That's my rec level. Like if you get 3.5, I say, watch it. It's a good idea. It's a good match. And I would give that this. But again, that lasted for one match before the best match of the tournament happened to this point, which was Ryuki Honda versus Yuma Anzai. And to kind of bring it back to what we said about Honda taking the fall on night one so quick, I'm sure this was already planned out. This was going to be his resurrection pretty much from that. And I thought he did great in it. Anzai, again, I think him as champion, I would like to see him really like step up big in terms of like leading a match, in terms of taking over, being the dude in a match. But man, he's such a good seller. I can see why. At one point, Honda hit this lariat on him. He took such a great bump on it. He flipped all the way backwards. And like the way the setup was perfect, too. So basically, Anzai was setting up for his jumping knee strike. And Honda just hung onto the rope. So he like literally was jumped up but stopped and like froze. It was so natural. Honda came back, boom, hit him with the lariat, flipped over, landed on his head on the bump down. It was such a good bump coming in there. It was so good. They were going in there. Yuma like did a spot where he like jumped onto the guardrails to fly at him like a springboard almost on the rails. I thought it was really good. They came in on the apron. They were firing back and forth with all strikes. We had the big suplex on the apron as well. Going in there, I think these two guys have great chemistry and felt like partners going at it. But also, there was the natural need for Honda to overcome his, not big brother technically, because he's younger, obviously, but his partner's the champion. He has to prove that he's on that level too. And he won, and it led to him to winning. I thought both men were stiff. They did some good stuff. Anzai was awesome when he was going under. Honda got a big win that he needed. Totally made up for his earlier loss, in my opinion. But in the end, the final event did it. Really strong match here. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, for me, hands down, this is match of the tournament. And I think it's actually going to be hard to top. I loved it so much. Like, what can you really say other than, like, it was great. These two went at it. They left everything in the ring. The reversals were great. Like, the bit you were talking about with Honda.
Yeah.
And Anzai missed the jumping knee. And even, like, when he tried the jumping knee again and, like, Honda, like, caught him and threw him back.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Yeah, that was great. Like, the last 10 minutes were, like, full of reversals. And it was just a perfect build-up to Honda's big win, maybe the biggest of his career. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm looking forward to the Triple Crown Challenge where Honda and Anzai actually go at it, and I know they will top this one.
Yeah, they could have an even bigger match here. But I did like on this third show, this felt like the show where they kind of got serious with the last two matches. Like, all the other matches, some of them were pretty good, but none of them were big name matches per se until we got here. Kento and Yuma, Honda and Anzai, partners colliding. And those were the matches that got the big length, the epic feel to them. And I thought they did a great job. That's why they stood out so much. We're still at a good part of the tournament where there's a lot left, obviously. And we don't know where the final, like how the final is going to go. You know, you weren't on earlier when we previewed it. Right now we're 3 days in. It's still not super deep in the tournament, but still we got a couple of wins so far. Some people at four. It's more like people like Jun Saito, people like Ashino, people like Kento, Yuma's, both Yuma's, all at four. What do you think the final is going to be? What's your read on it right now?
My final pick for the finals, obviously, yes. Kento versus Yuma. Wait, no. My brain is so Kento versus Yuma. Let me scratch that. Kento versus Sawama.
Okay. See, there you go. You cannot rewrite the tournament to put them together again in the final. No, I'm sorry.
I just want them to wrestle so much. But look where the finals is being held. It's a huge venue. It has to be a big match. Kento versus Sawama is always a big match. They just have amazing chemistry. I love them together. It has to be one of those two.
Yeah. I can see that. I will say this. Striga proposed in our last show an idea of Anzai winning the tournament to solidify him as the champion, which I threw as like a curveball idea. That was like his first thought. Like he was like a step ahead of me on that. I think in B block, I think in A block, it's going to be hard for it not to be Kento, to be honest. Like I would love if Aoyagi got that rub and got to go. But what you said in Yokohama Buntai, Kento is who they always turn to. I think he's going to get it. And unfortunately, I can see Horsehead beating Aoyagi on the last night to eliminate him as well, which I don't want to see. That's the last thing I want to see, but I could see it. In B block, I think you've got some options. Suwama was the pick for me as well. But if you look at the last night, Anzai and Hideki for the final block would make a lot of sense as well. I could totally see that. Like if Anzai could go undefeated and Hideki gets the win on the last night, they both have to go undefeated at this point to get in the final because Hideki's already lost twice. If that was the final night and you could see that, I think that would make a lot of sense. But I think the problem is if it was Nakajima as champion still, I would totally buy Kento being the winner of the tournament. I think Kento winning the tournament to challenge Anzai in his first defense just isn't very logical to me. Like, that doesn't make sense. You build to that match, not the first one. I think Suwama makes a lot of sense right now. And that's where I would go. Unless they do want to take our advice on the last show, me and Striga, and said, screw it, give Anzai the tournament. You've already put the belt on it. Let him recover. But I don't see that. Right now, I think Suwama is the favorite. And I can see Suwama versus Kento. Just like you said, I think you got it totally right, to be honest.
I got to say, Yuma won the belt, Anzai. Yeah. He took Kento's reign of being the youngest champion ever.
True.
If he wins the Champion Carnival, he will take Yuma's reign of being the youngest Champion Carnival winner. Just give him all the records?
I mean, he is now the greatest legend in All Japan history after just like a year and a half, pretty much. I can see that. I can see, like, they've already, the problem is that they've already put the belt on him, you know, so it's hard to make these arguments like, oh, he's not ready yet. Like, he has to be ready. He's the champion. Like, they're, you know, they're, like, so we're kind of like, you've already decided to take that step. So I think that you can believe in him a little bit more if you wanted, but I just don't think it, the way it's gone, his first few matches, I don't really get the sense that they're focusing on him to rehab. I think they like where he's at right now. And listen, if he has great matches like he has against Honda, he's got charisma. If he can overcome, he's got a cavalcade of All Japan veterans that he could go through for this belt until he gets to a Kento or a Yuma. I actually think it would be better. It's not just because he's my favorite. I think it would be better if Aoyagi was Anzai's Kento, kind of like his hill that Anzai can't beat, rather than just being Kento for Anzai like it was Kento for Aoyagi and Kento for Jake and Kento for, you know, let Aoyagi get that part where he's the one that takes the belt for Anzai. He's the one that Anzai can't beat, you know, in there. That's kind of his story. And 3 years from now, you could finally pay that off, and it seems like a big deal, pretty much. And if you do it with Kento, that's fine. Every ace has their mountain that they need to climb. That's very normal in Japanese wrestling. I would like to see it be Aoyagi rather than Kento.
I can see that. I just think Yuma is just in like a goofy stage right now, a stage of I'm not going for the belts, but I'm not being, you know, left out of anything. While Kento, like at the press conference, he's like, yeah, I'm going after the new generation. Like, I hate them. Like, I'm going to crush them. So I don't see Kento leaving like the ace status or, you know, Anzai's number one hater / opponent anytime soon.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool if Yuma Aoyagi slipped into that spot.
Because Kento was that for Aoyagi for so long. You know, and obviously last year we both agreed how it ended wasn't ideal, like with Nakajima coming in instead of putting it over as the big moment it should have been. But it works with Kento just fine, to be honest. If they do that, that's not a mistake at all. Like, Kento is the ace. Like, he is the dude. I thought Aoyagi did a great job as champion, for the record, though, when they did go with him. You know, you look at his attendances, almost every show was doing great numbers, great matches. He rocks, man. So I'm up for it. But Kento is not a mistake at all if they want to do that. I just personally think it would be more interesting for that. And you could settle things further down the line. But either way, Anzai's in a good spot right now. Great match with Honda. Check out the last two matches from night three would be my recommendation. Everything else, there's some pretty good stuff. The main thing you need to do, though, is go back to the Ren and Ashino match. Check the hand clap with the drop kick.
No.
and you'll believe what I told you on that. I think we can all agree on that one by the end.
I will check it out after this. I promise.
I've now. I convinced one person to do it. If she can do it, you can do it, guys. Out there, watch the hands. That's all I'll say. But with that said, it's been fun talking about the Champion Carnival with you. I was going to bring it up too. I wanted to ask about the United Japan thing with All Japan involved. They've worked with New Japan a bunch as time has gone along in the past. Now it came out that All Japan veteran Jake Lee made a run into New Japan now, despite being in Noah. He was begging to be in the G1 before, even when he was in All Japan. He was in there to do that. He's undergone quite a change in Noah in terms of gimmick from where he was at in All Japan. I mean, the top hat, he's a man of fashion. He's proved himself, and I've never hated on that. But you see the stuff with All Japan. Do you think that they could do anything when it comes to United Japan, you know, working with New Japan, working with Noah? Do you foresee them working with more people? Because right now, I mean, you know, we've got Hayashi coming in. They bring in the Glate guys sometimes. They work with smaller companies and things like that. They do some stuff like Monday Magic. They sent some guys over, like Anzai was that, like last year for Noah. But things have kind of gone down a little bit from where they were in terms of working together, like last year with Kojima and T-Hawk and all that in the company. Do you see any way that All Japan starts to work with these different companies more for the United deal?
I think so, yeah. You see it already now. There's like a bit of crossover. If I had my way, I think I'd want All Japan to start working a bit more with Big Japan. Remember they used to have like that kind of partnerships. A lot of people used to come over.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Dragon Gate guys would like really do well in All Japan, especially like in the junior division where we like definitely need a boost.
Yeah.
But like working with New Japan, it's always fun. I guess you get some more eyes on All Japan. But it wouldn't be my number one company for them to work with. Definitely not.
They don't win enough when they work with New Japan.
I mean, look who the champion was last year for like most of the year. Splitting Nagata.
True. Like I said, you are right about that, to be fair. But yeah, we'll see where it goes on there. Hopefully things work out well with the United thing. It's a big match show. They're not even on. All Japan's actually not even on the show. The one in May that they're doing at Budokan, but they said they'll be back in June when they run another show. So All Japan will make their presence felt for that. Otherwise, yeah, like I said, it's been totally fun having you on. Thank you so much, Jessica, for giving us your time. All the fans of the Eastern Lariat, who obviously mean so much to me and Striga as well. It was great to introduce them to you. And I want you to take the floor, whatever you want to say, if you've got any plugs, anything you want to do. This is your time. You have free range. You can say anything you want.
Well, tempting. But I will just say thank you so much for having me on. Like, I am a dedicated Eastern Lariat listener. I listen like every time there's a new episode. So
yay.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be on. If you want to follow me, I'm at Sister Jessie on Twitter. Or you can follow my All Japan fan account, which is Railroad72. Like, I post like all the stuff there because their English account isn't posted anymore. It's actually inactive. So if you want an account that's actually active, come follow me. Also, I have an All Japan podcast coming out very, very soon. I'm going to release information in the next couple of days, so look out on one of my accounts for that. That's very exciting. But, just thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what you're up to with the podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely check her out on Twitter, X, whatever, Royal Road account. She's fighting. You heard it in her voice. She's determined to beat the international account on All Japan. She's active. She'll hit you up with all the news, the updates. She actually wrote a preview too for the Champion Carnival before too. So she's getting back into writing too. And I look forward to everything you bring to the table with All Japan and anything else you want to in the world of wrestling. And so thank you. I really appreciate having you on and for you taking the time. And like, by the way, too, again, she's in Australia. It's like, what, 7 a.m. there, 9 a.m. now? You haven't even got breakfast yet.
I had breakfast. Don't worry. I made sure I was fed.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm proud of you for that. You fit right in on the Eastern Lariat then. But thank you so much for that. And for me, follow Striga at Striga, all caps, on Twitter. He appreciates it. He loves all the fans as well. I'm at Viva_0. So much wrestling going on in the world that we can talk about. So much things in life that we can talk about. Main thing, follow the Eastern Lariat accounts wherever you can. Always at Eastern Lariat. You get news. You get fun stuff. You get the shows. We're always doing our best for everybody. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this special episode with Jess. Like I said, she's super legit when it comes to All Japan. Always happy to have you on. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, I know you're going to do it, to be honest. You will be on again in the future. And also, patreon.com/EasternLariat. She has assured me she will come back for that as well. So we will do more shows as the tournament goes along. Even if there's not a new show like covering the tournament, because Striga is very busy right now. I don't know when we'll be back. I mean, it'll probably be like Golden Week at the latest. We'll obviously be there for with me and Strig. But in the meantime, me and Jess, we're going to do stuff on the Patreon. You'll have shows for all the shows. You'll hear all the matches. And by the end, I'll give you the wrap up with my tried and true, world famous, galactical famous, pure star ratings, measuring the tournament, measuring who the best was scientifically, mathematically, charts and graphs and so many things that I put into it. It's always a lot of fun. See what you think. Let us know what you think, too. Hopefully you guys enjoy the tournament more than anything else, as much as we love talking about it. Hopefully Champion Carnival could get a nice boost up going forward. Hopefully there's lots of fun to be had, and hopefully you guys always enjoy following along and always enjoy following along with the Eastern Lariat.
All right, guys. I'm going to take it solo from here. Just got a couple of things to talk about before we get on out of here. A little bonus stuff. Kind of not bonus. We were, you know, if Strigo was here, we would talk about it anyway. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things that's happened recently. And I hope that you guys are having a fun time in your wrestling world, because there was some big stuff that happened, specifically in New Japan, that I'm going to get into. And whenever New Japan does something, everybody knows they're the top dog. They're the biggest company. When they make moves, it's felt. There's ramifications. So, first off, there's news of essentially New Japan is, quote-unquote, acquiring Bushiroad Fight, which is the like parent label of Stardom, like obviously the Joshi Pro Wrestling company. With this move, this pretty much ensures that Stardom is a fully owned subsidiary of New Japan Pro Wrestling itself, rather than under the Bushiroad Fight name. This is going to be set up and locked in on June the 28th. And from there, we've got some comments from some of the names involved. You know, they've already made some comments. Taro Okada, who was the director, you know, that New Japan put in last year, he came in. He says, and I quote, "More than 4 years into this relationship, and with changes being undertaken in the management and operating structure of the company, there was a desire for a stronger connection between our offices, which is being put into place with this announcement. I hope we can find new ways to show the world just how impressive Japanese pro wrestling can be. And as athletes in both Stardom and New Japan rings continue to push new boundaries, we look forward to your continued support." So that was Okada. We had Tanahashi, the New Japan president. He said, "Our fans have seen a lot of crossover between New Japan and Stardom with our co-promoted event, as well as the IWGP and Strong women's titles. But there's still a lot that can be done to strengthen connections between our companies behind the scenes. From arranging event schedules and building reservations to make sure fans have time to take in big matches for both companies, to improving our promotional efforts and sponsor acquisition, I'm excited at the opportunity to further both New Japan and Stardom's appeal to a broader audience. This acquisition will speed up decision-making processes and improve our operating efficiency, freeing both companies up to further professional wrestling in the eyes and hearts of fans in Japan and worldwide. I look forward to fans' continued support of both New Japan and Stardom." So you look at those comments, pretty much a business speak from both men here. Okada's was considerably shorter, more or less a rallying cry of sorts. We've seen it with other companies, you know, love pro wrestling and all that stuff. We've seen it before. Tanahashi, it was interesting about the part, you know, giving fans time to take in big matches for both companies, you know, try to, and that was something that was spoken about with the United Japan. That was something, an effort that wanted to be made across multiple companies. And he's saying that this will help the companies behind the scenes. To me, it's hard to look at this as a big deal of any sort. Only because it's not that it's not a big deal at all. My problem is that all of this, like, this was more or less the cherry on top, you know. This wasn't what caused the big changes, this move here. The changes already happened. This was set up for the last God knows how long. It's been spoken about multiple times. Bushiroad started meddling in Stardom. They put Okada in late last year. People were fired, Ogawa, as well as the president before. You know, this was set up long before. It's not like they just rolled out of bed one day. Somebody was like, ah, let's move Stardom and make it a subsidiary of New Japan. Like, no, that's not how this works. This was set up moves were made. It's obvious. I don't have to run down the whole list. We've been talking about it for, you know, months now at this point. And it may have even gone further than that, further back than that, for all we know. I pinpointed to me when they had the crossover show, which interestingly enough was mentioned directly by Tanahashi. That to me was the end of the line for Stardom. They got too big, and there were people in New Japan that didn't like that. And ever since that day, no good has come for Stardom from the New Japan Alliance. Now, I'm not like pointing fingers at anyone specifically. I think there's a lot of people. I'm not going to blame one person. I think there was a lot of people that kind of spurred this on. And now we're at the point where this might as well just be corporate reshuffling. You know, they're cutting costs. There's probably going to be some behind the scenes people that we don't know about that are going to be let go. You know, an unfortunate reality. Times are lean, economy, business wise, blah, blah, blah. They're wanting to, you know, shuffle things around a little bit, make it more streamlined, I suppose. And with that said, one of the top comments I saw was people asking about Stardom World and New Japan World merging. I really have a hard time believing that. It would be good for the fans. It would be good for me. But, you know, look at it from their point of view. You could have two streaming services and make money from the two streaming services. Or you can combine them and have one streaming service that you have and make money off of. That just doesn't make sense at the end of the day. It's been said that there's 10,000 subscribers, give or take, to Stardom World. A lot of it's international, we know that. Could they do something where maybe they combine Stardom World and hike the price on New Japan World? That's not going to make... There's some New Japan fans that don't care about Stardom. You know, they're not going to be happy about, like, having to pay more. Hey, you're putting this crap that I don't like on my New Japan World, and you're making us pay more? Wait a minute now. We didn't ask for this. They could run the risk of that. I think it's a safer bet to keep them apart and just charge for both sides, pretty much. And again, for me as a fan, if it were up to Dylan, and not that I'm, if I ran the company, I would probably think exactly what I just said. But as a fan, I would love if they combined. On top of it as well, we have to look at their own service. Why isn't, you know, what happened to the archive? What happened to all the old matches that they've promised? They've got this new player, and they were going to put all these old matches that they took off and put them back in. We're still waiting for a lot of these matches. So it's clear the infrastructure still isn't that great in terms of the streaming sector or whatever that you want to call that. So am I going to trust them to put all of the Stardom content onto and move that over? I don't know. I don't think that's entirely accurate. I'm not saying it's impossible. But from the evidence that we have now, I just don't think that's feasible for their team. In terms of on-screen, I think the only possible, like the most optimistic look you could take for this, now that they're owned by New Japan directly, they may feel a bit more pressure to say, hey, this is a part of us now. Some people's jobs may ride on making this thing profitable. It's not like before where you have people sabotaging stuff. Maybe. We don't know that yet. We haven't seen this in action. There's a lot of people that don't want Stardom messing with New Japan at all in that company. I promise you that. It's been proven. Again, it's not like just something I'm saying out of the air. Like, I knew it from the start. And there's still people there that feel that way. So are these people going to continue to get to meddle even more? But there are going to be some people that maybe were ambivalent before. And if they, you know, have their, you know, finger in the pot or whatever, they're going to want to make it work more. They're going to be more inspired to do that. Perhaps. We don't have proof of that yet. But I think that's an optimistic view, and it's not it's not completely unrealistic that way. People before didn't care. Okay, it's a subsidiary now. This represents us, so we need it to be successful. We're going to try and make it successful. I still have a hard time believing we're going to get all these stardom matches on New Japan shows. Even with their own IWGP title, that has not manifested. Why do you think that is? Come on now. You guys are smart. People, if you're listening to this show, you know ball when it comes to Japanese wrestling. That's just how it is. You know, and I always do put over the fans, but let's be real. If you care enough to listen to this show, the Eastern Lariat, we're the show that covers everything. There's not another show that doesn't like us. Whether we've obviously New Japan is the top dog. We did a whole show on Joshi Wrestling last episode talking about Actress, Ice Ribbon, Wave. That show and All Japan and New Japan, they're not all going to get covered by many other shows, if any. You are a smart fan, I promise you. And we might not even agree. Hey, just last episode, I had on the YouTube upload of this show, I want to look up this person. I want to shout this YouTuber out specifically because we had a little debate on the last episode. Somebody messaged me on that episode, which did great numbers, by the way. So thank you guys for all who watched it on YouTube as well as those who watched it or listened to it everywhere, pretty much. But Gabrielle Mazzoli on YouTube, this person was asking about why we were so hard on Hayata. And we had a little debate. Another person jumped in, agreed with me about that. Rarnium, we were talking. It was respectful and fun and cool, and I appreciate those kind of comments because, again, I'm not never going to be the biggest Hayata fan, but I appreciated that insight. So I want to shout out Rarni and Gabriele. So, you know, the fact is, if you're listening to this, you know ball, again. And you can think about it and ask yourself, why didn't they do that? They said they were going to have the IWGP title. They said they were going to have big matches for it. Why were they not? Why did they stop that? Why did we have like two matches? Then they finally brought one back in February. And one of those before was a 5-minute match in Wrestle Kingdom. So what are you know? We know that that's not normal. That's not a sign of wanting something to succeed. Hopefully the good guys can win, because the best thing for everybody is that Stardom is successful. They've taken some hits this last year. That's just a fact. And that was before this with Rossi and Mari Gold and all this stuff. They already were down bad. You know, by the end of 2023, you compare it to 2022 and it's rough, man. It was not a good look, people. And then people leave, and they actually fought against that pretty well. Like, I'm telling you now, people, the people who left from Stardom, the Mari Gold opening day roster, it could have been a lot worse for Stardom. You know, but they fought against it, and whoever was behind that cared enough to do it. Hopefully, I mean, I also agree with what Tanahashi said about separating the big shows from the companies. But will they live that? Because they said that about United Japan and then ran it right on the same day as a big show with All Japan. So what's the deal? Show me actions. Don't show me words. I think that's the thing we all have to look for in wrestling. You know, I talk with actions, not words. Maybe on the podcast I talk with words and actions. But we need to see some more actions from the wrestling biz as a whole, and especially New Japan here. But my gut, on one hand, let's just be honest. You say these words, New Japan owns Stardom. It feels bad. Like, it doesn't feel right that it's that way. But in the practical sense, I don't think it's a big difference maker either way at this point. And it will remain to be seen how it plays out. if they do rally behind this, if a lot of these voices are silenced that are not big fans of women's wrestling or whatever, don't want it mixed with New Japan, and things work out well for them, then that's going to be a great thing. You look at this card coming up. I'll have a review for this show coming up, this Stardom All-Star Grand Queendom show. It's got a three stages of hell match in the main event with Momo Watanabe and Micah. I will do a show about that on the Patreon. Check that out, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We'll see what happens with Striga. His contract, like his schedule right now, is very busy. So we'll see. Like I said before, you know, Golden Week will do something for sure. Before that, it's a 50-50 shot. I would say more likely than not, he'll be back Golden Week for it. But maybe things open up. Like, he surprised me before, people. I've surprised him. We're all full of surprises. You never know what we're going to do next here on the Eastern Lariat. Nobody saw it coming when we brought up that new theme song. Which, I mean, the reason why I didn't use it on this episode, the song's still the same, but I wanted to use a special show because Striga's not on. Jesse was on. You know, Jess, you know, came in, brought her own flavor. Jess is not Striga. Striga's not Jess. I'm not anybody else. I always say, if me and Striga are not on, it's not really the fully Eastern Lariat. It's just if it's just me, it's just the Lariat. If it's just him, it's just the Eastern. You know, you can't have the Eastern Lariat without both the Eastern and the Lariat. That's just how it is. So I did something a little different. Hopefully, yeah, you did enjoy that, for the record. I think it's a pretty good cover of that song. Of course, the Saito Brothers theme song. One of the best in all of Japanese wrestling. And I think that needs to be acknowledged a lot more, that the Saito Brothers do have some of the best music in wrestling. Last topic before we get on out of here. This was a big surprise. I wish Striga was here to talk about this for sure. Jake Lee made a debut here attacking Tetsuya Naito in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They brought him in to attack Naito, and he is now, it's been announced officially just a couple of hours ago after, you know, before I recorded this, this part here, where they're going to do an elimination match where it's LIJ, you know, the whole crew, Naito, Shingo, Tsuji, Hiromu Bushi, and Jake Lee is teaming with the War Dogs. You know, obviously with Coughlin retiring, they needed, you know, an extra guy for this kind of match in Dontaku. I think that's an interesting cause here. You know, Jake in the Bullet Club. I think the attack is more interesting than the angle. And it was announced he'll be wrestling back in Noah again on Friday in a Good Looking Guys match. And he showed up with the attack with the Good Looking Guys t-shirt on. So a lot of people jumped the gun and was like, he's in New Japan. Like, he's signed. And it's clear that this is just a setup. It wouldn't surprise me to see this stretched out to either this United Japan show. I mean, that's coming up pretty soon, the Budokan show. But it wouldn't surprise me if Naito's not in a big spot, and that's a fine one if they want to do it. You know, a faction match with LIJ and Good Looking Guys. That might be one of the main events on the June show as well. I can't believe that some people – listen, I'm not sitting here saying Jake Lee is the greatest wrestler in the world or anything like that, or the most charismatic for sure. But some people have, like – I feel like the narrative on him has gone so far that people have lost logic and lost sense, I think, with him. People are acting like this is a bad thing. Oh, I have to watch Jake Lee matches. Have you seen this roster in New Japan? It's been a talking point for a few months now. On this very show, you guys have heard it, if you were listening to it. This roster is pitiful. in terms of talent, star power, their belts on a guy who isn't here. Hey, I got news for you. These last two shows, ever since Naito lost the title, it's a little rough. 800, you know, 800 plus fans in Corcoran for New Japan. They weren't doing that when Naito was champion. I'll tell you that right now. Pretty interesting. I mean, it's very. It's not like it means anything in the grand scheme of things. Let's be real. Excuse me. It's, you know, two shows, not big shows. Moxley wasn't set to even be a draw. I'm not blaming him at all. It's more the company itself. We're seeing what the company looks like a little bit. We're seeing the first steps of it without Naito as the champion. When Mox gets in, that's going to be a totally different story with the belt. I don't really agree with the controversy. A lot of talk has been on Moxley going taking on Hobbs for the title. Personally, I'm a big fan of Will Hobbs. I think that guy's super talented. And the people like saying, "Oh, this devalues the title." I mean, come on. Have you seen this title the last year? Like, where were you at? Did you not see Sonata and Evil in October? Did you guys forget about that? This legendary title that's so great? Come on now. And Will Hobbs is the problem? I'm not buying that at all, people. Obviously, I mean, it's on AEW for not building Hobbs enough up that he's a believable challenger. He should be one of their big guys, but that's a whole nother case. That's not New Japan relevant, really. And the idea that he didn't win enough matches just last year, again, look, a year, not even a year ago, Tsuji walked into this place and got a title shot. No real backing to earn it or anything like that at all. And I'm not saying Hobbs was well built up at all, but it's a match they did on TV. It gives Moxley a defense. Yes, ideally, I would want him in Japan as the champion and representing for the company. But the title is not going to implode because of this. I think that's a little overdramatic. Let's just be honest about that. And they probably want him here. Again, these shows, last couple of shows, haven't done very well for them. Not big shows. We'll see what Dontaku does. It's going to be interesting. You know, like, again, this, we're going to get to see a peek at what they're like without Naito in the main event. If that show doesn't do well, I still think it's a little early. But that may be a sign that them taking the belt off of Naito was a mistake after all, which is what I predicted. I said all along, Naito's too valuable. He's really their only real star in the company. That's like a game-changing difference maker. Like, they don't have anybody else. They should be using him to elevate the other talent. That was my thought all along. I said I would not have him lose to anybody. I don't care who it is. But they did it. We can't go back. We cannot time travel. We're going to have to see it. I'm willing to give them that chance. But that said, Jake coming in, I think it's interesting. Again, and I was very surprised at the negative reaction to him, because there's so many worse people on this roster. If Jake were in this company, he's better than a majority of this roster, to be honest with you, in the ring. There's like a handful of guys I would take over him, and a couple of people that I could go either way on here or there. But you're looking at a guy that's in the 10 to 15 range in ring when it comes to heavyweights. You know, maybe even a little higher. He might be a top 10 guy if you look at it just purely in-ring talent. Star power. I thought he was a fine GHC champion last year. A stable one. You know, they treated him so well. I think this is another thing I always get in trouble when I say stuff like this. Not everybody should be the champion, you know, the top champion of the company. I think that should be reserved in an ideal circumstances for either people who have got it or people you hope will step up and get it as champion during this reign, like Anzai. Like, he wasn't pushed enough to be ready. We hope that he can get it in that reign. I think world champion is a step too far for Jake. He's missing something. But as a worker, I think he's good. He could have good matches and really be a solidifying force in either block, whatever block they have. If they have one, two, or four, however many blocks they have in the G1, he will be a steadying force in that block. I mean, if you compare his run to Sonata's title run last year, I think Jake clearly had a better run, ultimately. And again, that puts him basically in the top 10 like of New Japan in terms of in-ring. One thing I like about him, too, is that he wants this. Tanahashi made a comment before where he asked him to come to New Japan, so this may be one of his moves. Like, you know, he kind of set this up to bring Jake in and help him go for his dream and improve his career. I didn't really like how he kind of simped out for New Japan when he was in All Japan and even Noah a little bit, where he's like, I want to be in the G1. I want to go to New Japan. It's like he should be saying the place, like Noah is the best company. Like, I feel like should be his standpoint. Not, I want to go to New Japan where the biggest company and the most fans are. That's not a winning formula. We saw that with Kaito last year where the president went on about that. That's not what you do. You say, no, this is the best company. Even if it doesn't have the most fans, you could still spin it in a way where you believe Noah is the best company. Or All Japan back then when he did it the first time. So I believe him that this is his dream. I just thought it made him look a little bad. And the company's not look great either. I wish that he had been more pumping up his own company and let this come naturally. But the hate on this guy coming into New Japan is a little silly when you look at their roster, is all I'm saying. Like, who are you taking over him? Chase? Nick Nemeth? Okan? Finley? Like, what? Like, come on now. Let's see what he could do. He'll probably be very motivated, too, if this does lead to a G1 match, which I could see this all culminating with them, Jake and Naito being in a big, you know, a major block match. They need people. I said it with the Nakajima thing. This company needs people for this G1 to succeed. The crop they've got now ain't cutting it. Like, they lost Okada and Ospreay. They can't just hope that these other guys replace them, because that's not going to happen. They need outsiders bad this year. I thought it would be Nakajima, and it may still be Nakajima. I wouldn't completely write off him coming in. But if Jake is one of their guys, they made the switch and said, okay, we're calling Jake's number. That's nothing to be hating on. That's a guy that's going to be motivated to have his best career run, and a guy that's just better than a lot of their guys that they have now. I don't think he's a threat to win, but I will tell you this. I think it's a great move. If you are going to use him in a featured role this summer, this is how you do it. You attack Naito. You don't have him attack mid-card guys. You attack the big dog. And that's what he did. And I think that slots him. Because if you go in and attack, you know, again, a mid-card guy, you know, and it pains me to say this, but let's say he dropped Goto as his debut. That slots him at a mid-card Goto level. As much as I love Goto. I mean, Goto to me is a million times better wrestler than Naito right now. But if you want him to be seen as a star, you have to make him appear as one. And I thought Noah booked him very well. He was they booked him really well, actually, last year. And it didn't lead to anything major, but I think it did add stability to their company and their belt, at least, on there. So I thought they did a good job with him. He was one of the more pushed guys in the whole company, really. Like, one of the few guys they actually got right. There was a segment a month or two ago where me and Striga were talking about who they did well. It was him and Jack Morris were the only two we looked at that they were actually pushed accurately or above their cause. So him getting a shot, I think it's good. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I think Jake versus Naito is going to be this epic match, like, you know, a match that I personally as a fan I'm looking forward to. But if he gets a G1 run, I think that's great. I think that's really good and helps the company and helps everybody in it. So I'm hoping for the best for that. Again, it's not like it electrified me, but I don't think people were thinking fully when they were talking like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. You know, Jake in New Japan, I can't believe it. Look at all of these people that are in this company right now. They need guys, and this is who they called upon. So we'll see if he makes the best of it. And I like him as a worker well enough. Don't think he's world champion level or anything like that. But as a guy to run through a G1 and stabilize a block, you know, be in that upper mid-card role, he might even be around the last day. I mean, I wouldn't bet on it, but put him as like the third place guy in a block, I think that's a fine role for him and he would do good at it. And if they go to four blocks again, it wouldn't be too shocking if he did make it into the top two and was able to advance. Again, I don't think his star power is that high, but I think the work is good, and he's stable enough. Again, I would put him at very much a Sonata level, but I did think he was a much better worker and champion than Sonata was last year. Although I think Sonata's had an improved year this year since he dropped the belt after the angle in the dome. I think he gained a lot from that, and I've said that before, and I think it shines through in his work. I think he's worked hard this year had done some good stuff. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not down on it at all. We'll see what happens with Jake. And hopefully he does some good things. But debuting him against Naito was good. If I had Nakajima, I would have done him. I would have had Nakajima drop Naito before Jake if that was a choice. Maybe they don't have that choice. Nakajima, he's starting his YouTube channel. Right now he's following the Kenno route of going to YouTube. He's not wrestling, we know that. I don't know where he's at right now, what company he's looking at. Seems like he's just hanging out for a little while. We'll see what happens. But, if I had the option, I would definitely have brought him in. And they still might. Again, I wouldn't write it off. They need people. They got to replace those guys somehow. And we'll see how they do it coming in. So, that's about all for this week. This episode, anyway. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed it. Thanks once again to Jessica for coming on. I really appreciated her time and her insight. I like that we had those talks and stuff. We had a little different opinions, too. I'm always a big fan of that. Obviously, in a perfect world, I wish everyone would just agree with me, obviously. But just as a host and as a fan, I think it's more interesting when actually we don't agree on everything. So I'm glad that we had different takes and everything. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show with that. I talked a little bit about the New Japan stuff at the end. You know, hopefully you enjoyed that as well. Let us know what you think. Again, watch the YouTube page. Watch the, you know, subscribe to the YouTube page. We're almost at 150 subscribers. That's pretty cool. We basically get new viewers for the channel every, you know, by the episode. So we really appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at the Eastern Lariat. Follow me at Viva_Zero. Follow Jesse at Sister Jesse. Two E's at the end. And Royal Road 72 for a page directed all about All Japan. She's got some cool stuff in the works, as she said earlier. So support her. She really deserves it. She works really hard, knows a lot about All Japan, is going to have a big year coming forward as well. So check her out with that, all the stuff she's doing for All Japan. Check out the Patreon again if you want to hear more of us. We will cover All Japan. We'll do it. We're planning on doing it at blocks at a time because of the time difference and everything going on with me, you know, with her in Australia and me in Memphis. So we'll do it like two or three shows. Me and Rob McCauley, back when we used to do the reviews, I miss Rob, but we used to do the reviews for all kinds of tournaments. There's that one year we did all of them and it was crazy. I couldn't believe he hopped on board, but I had so much fun talking with him for that. But we kind of did it a similar way. We'd wait two or three days so we wouldn't just talk about one show. We're going to talk about multiple shows. And, you know, check us out on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. Just $5 a month. You get a little bit of everything. got the 90s project, 1998, wrapping up. We finally got the top 10 on there. So only one more year left, and we'll see how I handle that. Like I said, it kind of, you know, so many great matches in the 90s. I had so much fun looking back at them all, but it's time to put it away for good for that end, and that should be fun. The Stardom show, again, we'll do a show about that over the weekend, planning to have a guest on for that as well, me and someone else. So you're getting good value. You're getting good stuff. You hear all about the cool stuff. And Striga, I miss you, man. We need you back soon. We need to have fun and, you know, talk about all this stuff going on in wrestling. We need your takes. You know, don't think I'll let it slide. Jake's in New Japan. You got to let us know what you think, brother. But, again, follow us at Eastern Lariat. Cool stuff coming there as well. Always appreciate you guys' support. Cagematch.net, that's where the show is. If you can, give us some reviews, some likes, some five-star reviews on iTunes and Spotify and all that, which we're on as well. That's really important. So if you could take the time to do that, just go to Spotify, click five stars on that. That would really help the show out as well. So just one little time, we really appreciate it. But that's going to do it for this week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show, and it means so much to me that you took the time. As always, you know I love you, and until next time, sayonara.